Hello, friends. Thank you so much for joining me again this week on the SOS Podcast. I'm your host, Carl. I really hope things are going well for you guys. It's kind of a gray, cold, rainy day today, which isn't, you know, optimal for being in good spirits and being in a good mood, but we need the rain. God gives us the rain, so we should be thankful for that. Plus, I got shelter. I got a place to be warm and dry, so I can't complain too much. God's giving life to the fields of the earth, and is giving life to us. This week was a little tough for me, but it was also quite a big lesson that I learned. I had a couple evenings at work which were just not optimal. Evenings where I felt like trial by fire just doesn't describe what I went through. And they were good times because I see like instant fruit coming out of those challenges. God was very good to carry me and the rest of our team through each night, no matter what the challenges were. And I just want to almost give a shout out to him, because there are so many times where we go through really rough situations and circumstances in our lives, and we might look up to God and ask, like, why? Like, why are you letting this happen? Or why are you bringing this? Or why do I have to go through this? Why can't it be easier? Why can't it be different? Why can't it be better? Why can't it be more like what I imagined? But when we go through those tough times, what we really should be doing is thanking God, because we are sure He will get us through, and we are sure that if we approach these events with the right perspective, we will come out not only unscathed, but we will come out better. We will grow. These trials are there for the opportunity of growth if we take that opportunity and we have the right attitude, perspective, and approach. That being said, one night this week, I was leading an NA meeting, and the gentlemen who come to this meeting once a week, they're an energized bunch. You know, they got a lot of energy. They like to talk, they can be boisterous, they can be loud, they can be a little difficult to corral or control, but they're good guys who have a lot going on and they have a lot to say, and some of them are super, super hungry. We had our meeting this week and it started out a little rough. I wasn't sure after the first 3 minutes whether I was going to enjoy the next 57 minutes. But I can tell you that as people started opening up and confiding in the group and taking things a little seriously, there was really a change. There was a shift in the room. I didn't know at the time what it was exactly. I just thought people were settling in and being a little more mature. But then something incredible happened at the end of that group. Once we were done and we were about to leave the room, one of the gentlemen stopped and said, "Hey, guys, I don't know why we think at the end of our meetings, we just need to leave, turn the lights off, and call it a day. Maybe we should stop and quite honestly, I thought he was going to say, maybe we should stop and thank the person who facilitated the group. That's actually kind of proud and selfish of me, but that's where I thought he was going. What he said was, maybe we should stop and thank God for the opportunity we had here to get to know each other, to get some therapy, and just have a good time of healing." And this was the last person in the group I thought would suggest a kumbaya type prayer circle, but he did, and we got together in our circle, and he led the prayer, and it seemed awesome, incredible, and amazing. Now, that clearly was the Holy Spirit doing a great work in that place, in those men, and even in me that night. Because again, the beginning of the meeting was not encouraging at all. But I'll tell you what, those next 57 minutes really broke my heart in a good way. Fast forward a day, I'm with the same group of men doing other work. And it is just not a pleasant time at all. I grew so frustrated and felt so disrespected. I actually said to myself, "That's it. I'm not doing this anymore. I can't be in that environment. I just wash my hands of that situation because it's too difficult. It's too difficult and I'm not getting what I think I deserve to get out of it. Ouch, right? That I actually thought that. I actually thought about what I deserved, what I was entitled to there, but that was what was in my mind. So later on that evening then, one of those gentlemen, understanding the situation and having time to think about it, came back to me and apologized for the not so pleasant incident that occurred. And God just totally convicted me about my level of grace, which I thought was there. I think we just had an episode a couple weeks ago here where I talked about this abundant grace that we're supposed to have because it's what we receive. But man, it is such a journey to get there. You know, the interesting thing is that since that episode, well, pretty much anytime I put something out there, I feel like it's what I'm going through and it's what I'm trying to change or fix or get better at or whatever, something I want to develop more. So it's interesting that that situation happened, that I was almost immediately given the opportunity to really put my money where my mouth is, right? To have a chance to show that grace and whether it's developed. And I'll be honest, during that second interaction with these guys, that grace evaporated in a heartbeat. I was stressed, I was busy, I was not in the mood to deal with people not treating me the way that I expect to be treated or think I should be treated in certain places or in certain positions I occupy. And for me, I had enough. And I had enough really quickly. It wasn't even like I had enough over a period of time. It was just that instant, you know what, I'm done. There was just no grace there at all. It took one of those men, being bigger than I was at the time, to come to me and try to resolve things, for me to realize that I was really acting as foolish and childish and disrespectful as I thought they had been acting toward me. It really is a measure of the quality of our leadership. When we can say, yes, I forgive you. Yes, I can overlook that. Yes, you're still worth the work that I put into you. Yes, I'm still going to be here today and tomorrow and the next day for what you need. Yes, I can put my entitlement aside. I can forget about all those things I think I deserve, and I can just focus on giving you what you need. When we exercise grace, what's it about? I mean, it's about encouragement. It's about lifting people up. It's not about giving people a free pass, but it's certainly about giving people a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. Sometimes those we interact with will know when something happens that, you know, might be the last straw. And a lot of times people will just expect you to write them off or not talk to them again or be really upset for a while, because that's what any normal, red-blooded human being would do in that situation. And when we take on a role of leadership, or we take on a role of discipleship, mentoring, whatever, when we are a shepherd of some kind and we have sheep of some kind, it's so valuable, actually invaluable, when we can break that expectation. When we can be in a situation where no one is really expecting grace from us, and actually they're thinking we've got all the reason in the world to not be gracious. When we can take a step back and crush that, defeat that, tear that to pieces by being gracious, by being forgiving, by not losing our cool, by exhibiting Christ in situations where you feel like Jesus just isn't there and I don't have enough of him to deal with this right now. Whether we're dealing with people who are saved or not, whether we're dealing with people who are searching or who just don't care, when we can muster up that grace, that forgiveness, that patience, whatever it is, and break those expectations, just shatter them to pieces. When we can show up in a loving way when other people just would not expect it, I mean, that might be enough to get someone's heart to move a little closer to God. Or it might be enough to get them to start to ask you the questions, how can you do that? Like, we just totally tore you to pieces and didn't treat you the way we should have. And you came right back and loved us and cared for us and still spent time on us. And I have a feeling, no matter how this goes, you're gonna keep coming back. I mean, what does it do to people who would never expect that because they've never experienced that? It lets them know that there's something else going on there. And it makes them ask the question, whether to you or someone else. I really do believe in those moments we have precious opportunities to ignite the search, to ignite the desire in someone's heart to look into what just happened and to seek after an answer, which we know what the answer is. We know it's Jesus. It's the Father, the Son, the Spirit. It's God. It's our Lord. That's the answer. So let's try to do that. Let's think about this grace we've been talking about as more than a challenge, really. Whether it's grace, whether it's forgiveness, whether it's patience, whatever it is, let's think about shattering these, we'll call them bad expectations, because it's what the world expects, because it's what the world says we're entitled to feel and do, right? Let's shatter those expectations. Let's try to be loving when everyone would say you have every right to be hateful. Let's try to be forgiving when everyone would say you have every right to hold a grudge. Let's try to be generous when everyone else would say you have every right to be selfish with what you have. Let's work on shattering the world's expectations, because in doing that, we just might chip away at the walls people have up between themselves and God. This week's Songspiration is a song I might have used it before. It's called Your Grace Is Enough. It's clear from the lyric. We're talking about God's grace is sufficient for our grace to perform the way it should. God's grace is sufficient for us to have the patience and forgiveness and love that we need to show the world to be a testimony of who we follow, who we love, and who we belong to. Maybe our grace isn't enough, but God's grace is enough. So which one are we tapping into? Hopefully we're tapping into His. We don't have any on our own, right? We don't have a bone in our body that desires the things of God, but for the Spirit of God being in us and drawing us to those things. So Father, we ask God that you would increase in us every God-like quality we have, that we would have those qualities in greater magnitude, and that you would impart to us those things we don't have, Father, that we could interact not just with the world, but with the church in a way that defies worldly expectation, in a way that makes everyone take a step back and want to have what we have, because they will experience your love, grace, and mercy through us. Father, we ask God that you use us as tools to break those people's hearts in a good way, to tear down walls that have been erected between them and you. Father, just use us. Use us to be a great testimony and remind us, God, that in all circumstances, wherever you put us to do this work, your grace is sufficient for us to do it with excellence. Father, we love you, and we can't wait to see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good day, and God bless.
Soul.